I'm just going to read in three scriptures. The first is in Proverbs, in chapter 4, page 792. Chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee perverseness of mouth, and corrupt lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, let all thy ways be well ordered. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And then in the prophet Jeremiah, in chapter 6, page 915, verse 16. Thus saith Jehovah, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, which is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And then in the epistle to the Romans, and chapter 3, verse 10. According as it is written, there is not a righteous man, not even one. There is not the man that understands. There is not one that seeks after God. All have gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is not one that practices goodness. There is not so much as one. And verse 21, but now, without law, righteousness of God is manifested, borne witness to by the law and the prophets. Righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ towards all and upon all those who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat through faith in his blood, for the showing forth of his righteousness, in respect of the passing by the sins that had taken place before, through the forbearance of God, for the showing forth of his righteousness in the present time, so that he should be just, and justify him that is of the faith of Jesus. My thought tonight in the glad tidings is the path that each one of us is on. You might want to describe it as the way that you are on. There's a verse that says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but then it says the ways thereon of death. And we're exhorted in the verse that I read in Proverbs to keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. These are the things that are realities to those who are believers. The pondering of the pathway, the way that your feet will take you. Are they taking you away from the Lord Jesus, or are they leading you to him? We've had many instances this week again of persons being ushered into eternity without any warning at all, and it makes you think as to the pathway that those persons were on. Not that the pathway they were on resulted in their death, I don't mean that, but the pathway that any one of us is found upon. And then death comes in like a flood, and many people are ushered into eternity. You trust that some might know the Saviour, but in reality perhaps there may not be any. Such is the world in which we live, that it is against the thoughts and nature of man to consider God. To consider that he's made provision so that your eternal future might be secure. If every person upon this earth had a secure future, in other words, salvation from the Lord Jesus Christ, what a safe place this world would be. But alas, the opposite is true. This world is anything but safe. This world is corrupt. Why is that? Because, quite simply, when the Lord Jesus was arraigned before Pilate, the crowd cried out, "Away with this man, we will not have him to reign over us." Who did they choose? They chose Barabbas. And, dear hearer, dear friend, we live with the consequence of that choice, even today. When will he die and his name perish? That was the cry of the crowd. But how wonderful. There was one robber, malefactor, who got saved. How wonderful is God's grace. How wonderful the thought that even in those conditions of extremity, one man could recognize the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could say that he could say to the Lord Jesus, "Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." He remembered that the person that was there hanging beside him was just. He'd done nothing wrong. Even Pilate could say, "I find no fault in this man." And yet, the world rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. That perfect man that came here on behalf of God to express God's love. How wonderful it was that the Lord Jesus here expressed God's love in its absolute perfection. It says, "When reviled, reviled not again." How would we fare in such circumstances? We have the flesh within us, and yet we think of the Lord Jesus himself, perfect, sinless, spotless, undefiled. What a man Christ was at that time. What a man Christ is. You know, he did go into death. He did die. He was buried. But how thankful we are that he is alive to the ages of ages. If I were preaching to you about one who did the Lord, who did God's will, and then finish up in death, what would be the point of this preaching? But I'm speaking to you about one who burst the power of the grave, who vanquished Satan's power, came out of death victorious. That's the one who I would announce to you today. And so, these words that we read in Proverbs, they take on more meaning, don't they? When you read them in the light of the glad tidings. "Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life." How wonderful it is that the Lord, in his goodness and in his mercy, has given us the scriptures to read. They are his word to us. In the days when the scriptures were written, God often spoke directly to his servants. But now, God speaks to us through the person of his Son and in the power of the Holy Scriptures. And then the verse that arrested me today: "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be well ordered." You might say, "Well, I'm doing that. I'm pretty careful in all that I do and say. I've made provision for my family. I'm doing all the things that are required of me.
What more can I do? And, you know, that would receive the approbation of the world, because you've done all the things that, as a responsible householder, you could do. Is that enough? No, it's not. Nothing like enough. Even though it says, let all thy ways be well ordered, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Then it says, remove thy foot from evil. You know, the Lord Jesus would just come near in grace to you tonight. And he would desire that besides doing the things that it's required of you to do, come in simple faith and put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. What greater could you do? What greater could you do to secure your eternal future? And after that, that's the most important. The writer of Ecclesiastes says that your life here is but a vapour. That's all it is. It's seen briefly and then it's gone. And yet, the Lord Jesus, in his love to you and to me, he can say, come unto me. That's what he would desire to say to you. Come unto me. So I read in Jeremiah, word of Jehovah, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the ancient paths, which is the good way. Desire that each one of us today may be found upon that good way. It says, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. How wonderful it is, you know, to enjoy the peace of salvation. The joy that comes with being acquainted with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just the knowledge that you obtain from a book, not just the knowledge you obtain from even reading the scriptures. Though you may obtain comfort from reading them, it's to be the very person that you should be acquainted with. The person of our Lord Jesus Christ. I present him to you as a worthy Saviour, as one to whom you can put your faith and your trust. It says there is no other name given under heaven or amongst men whereby we must be saved. You know, we've heard these words perhaps from an early age. And perhaps the significance of them may sometimes be lost upon us because we're so used to hearing them. But the truth of it can never be emphasized enough. And we were reminded in our reading this afternoon as to the words of that Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? He realized that perhaps his life might be coming to an end. If the authorities came to him and they asked him, where are the prisoners? And he said they'd gone, his life would be required of him. But God in his mercy kept all those prisoners there. Not one left. They'd heard the words of Paul and Silas in that prison. And they realized the wonder of the moment in which they were in, a message could be heard, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How many persons have those words given comfort to? Down through the ages of time, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, let us look in Romans. Just to remind us again, as it says, there is not a righteous man. Not even one. Think of all the persons that we have perhaps learnt about at school or read about as far as history is concerned. Some have been very promising. Some have spent their lives doing good. But the fact is, there is not a righteous man, not even one. In all the thousands of years that have elapsed since God put Adam upon the earth, he says there is not a righteous man, not even one. And then further on it says, there is not one that seeks after God. All have gone out of the way. You think as to your own pathway, your own life, and you can acknowledge the truth of the words of Scripture. And it makes us thankful, doesn't it, that we can look towards the one who has made our peace with God. We can look to the one who hung upon that cross and shed his precious blood. He is the one that gives us hope in a world that has rejected Christ. If the writer of this chapter, the writer of this book, he really emphasizes these words, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the condition of all, every one of us. But then he goes on to say, being justified freely, freely by his grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. And that's available to every single person that this scripture speaks of. For all have sinned. And that verse applies to all. Whether you accept it, whether you make it your own, that's another matter. But it's available. God's heart of love towards all men. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth a mercy seat. Well, you know, the ones that were being written to, they would have known what the mercy seat was. They would have known the significance of it. That mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, seen only once a year by the priest, the high priest. They would have known the significance of that, and the Lord Jesus, the person of Christ, is being likened to the mercy seat. Well, for us, it's greater than that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself hung upon that cross, and he became my surety. He took upon himself all my sins and iniquities. All the things that stood out against me, he's taken them and borne them himself, taken them out of God's sight forever. How wonderful is his work. You can understand why the writer says, whom God has set forth a mercy seat. I, if I be lifted up, will draw all to me. That's what that scripture says to me. Yes, the Lord was made a spectacle. Yes, he was. He was mocked and he was scourged. But he was lifted up. And it says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all to me. And you know, you've been drawn to the Saviour. I've been drawn to the Saviour because of his love. I've been drawn to the Saviour because of what he's done for me. I've been drawn to him because there is no other. No other name given in under heaven amongst men whereby we must be saved. And so, can we say that we know what it is to be justified? Think of the one who knew what it was to go to his house justified. He wasn't the tax gatherer who thought he was pretty good. It was the one that couldn't lift up even his eyes to heaven. He knew his own failure before God. And yet it speaks of him that he went to his house justified. May we know what it is to stand at the foot of the cross and look upon the one who has suffered and died and borne the judgment of sin. Know that his work is what has justified you before a righteous and holy God. Yes, we spoke in the reading, didn't we, about the righteousness of God. And we sung of the perfect righteousness of God in our hymn as well. And God's righteousness, yes, demanded that you should die. But how wonderful for Jesus, our surety, the one who took upon himself your sins and mine. May it just make us rejoice and be thankful for the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his name's sake.